On September 1620, a group of 130 separatists, what made them separatist was that they wanted to worship God their own way. So 103 of them boarded the Mayflower and departed on a 66-day journey. The Mayflower is approximately 33 feet long. So you have 103 separatists, Puritans. We know them as pilgrims. 103 of them and a crew of 30, right? On a ship 33 feet long, 66 days. That's 3,000 miles at approximately 2 miles an hour, right? Are we there yet? Doesn't cover it, right? Yeah. So, 66 days. They arrive in November. One of the pilgrims died. There was almost mutiny because they were supposed to go to Virginia. Instead, they landed on Cape Cod. So there they are. It's early winter. We might call it late fall, but such is the Northeast. It's colder. So the only provisions to last were seeds of barley. Okay? Seeds of barley were the only provisions to last. They went through all of their provisions. They left the pilgrims there on Plymouth Rock, and they departed back to England. Those pilgrims started their life. The winter was very, very harsh. After late winter was over, approximately 52, exactly 52 pilgrims remained. Half of them died, did not make that rough, harsh winter. One of the Native Americans that, and you've heard this story before, but it needs to be told over and over again, right? One of the Native Americans that saw them was a Native American by the name of Squanto. Squanto had a friend. Native American saw him was Samoset, and Samoset had a friend named Squanto. And Squanto was introduced to the pilgrims. And what makes Squanto so special is that Squanto knew English. And Squanto's story began in 1605. When Captain George Weymouth captured him and four other Native Americans and used them to help them navigate across the eastern seaboard. So Captain Weymouth taught Squanto English, right? Taught him English and taught him how to navigate a ship. So on one of the journeys, Squanto escaped and went back home to his tribe, and they had all died from disease. But Squanto remained and made friends with other neighboring tribes. So the pilgrims were quite shocked when they heard a Native American speak English. The first meal that the pilgrims shared with Squanto was a mixture of brandy and water, biscuits, and roasted duck, and some cheese. They shared that meal with Squanto, and Squanto introduced those pilgrims to a very benevolent Native American chief by the name of Chief Massasoit. Chief Massasoit and Squanto and other Native Americans taught the pilgrims how to fish. Now we think of folks in those days knew how to do all those things, knew how to live out in the country, out of the wild, out in nature, but they didn't know that because the pilgrims are city people, right? The pilgrims are city people. So they taught them how to fish and how to harvest clams and oysters and eel, right? Taught them how to plant corn and beans. Very valuable to those Native Americans, and squash. Taught them how to do all those things, right? Taught them how to fish and hunt and harvest things from the good earth. And so in the fall of 1621, the Native Americans had a lot to be thankful for, as did the pilgrims have a lot to be thankful for. They built this new friendship. They built these new bonds. So what the pilgrims did is that they decided to throw a big fiesta, okay? And they, those 52, invited approximately 100 Native Americans to the first Thanksgiving feast. Now, the first Thanksgiving feast may or may not have had turkey. I hate to disappoint you with that. But they did have lots of venison. There was a lot of venison, and there was a lot of other kinds of food. And their first Thanksgiving lasted 3 days. They gathered together, shot their muskets, their bows and arrows, and played games that were familiar to their time. And it was a wonderful day, giving God thanks for the new relationships that they had made, for the things that had learned, and for the new life that they were about to live together. Again, that story is valuable. It's a story that must be told over and over and over and over again. When I first arrived in Mason, I started learning about the history of Mason, Texas. And the name John O. Mosebach. Did I pronounce it right? Mosebach. Mosebach. Thank you. Okay, John O. Mosebach kept popping up. Well, it popped up again several weeks ago when I received an email. It was from Mr. Michael Fry, who was married to Marie Fuller, the daughter of W.I. Bill Marshall. Thank you, Marshall. And what happened is that she died, and Marie Fuller is the great granddaughter to John O. Mosebach. Thank you, thank you. All right. So they asked me if I would conduct the graveside services for her. And I said, of course, right? What a way to be able to connect to that past, to that part of history in the Hill Country. I love that. I just love that. And Deanne Gregg's been so good about sharing information related to that story, and Marie Fuller, and so I did a lot of research, some more research on John, and it's amazing. It's amazing. He is responsible for rescuing 4,304 German immigrants that landed in Indianola, Galveston area, and they were really going through a hard time. Those Germans were going through a lot of the suffering that the pilgrims did when the Native Americans rescued them. John Mosebach bought them. Many of them were sick. There was some intense hunger and possible starvation. And he brought them to Fredericksburg and to this part of the Llano. John Mosebach, I know. I'm trying to, you know, those Moisebach. Thank you. So what happened was that he made a treaty with 10 chiefs of the Comanche tribes in the area that, you know, I heard people still stands today, and it probably will stand because there's no more marauding Comanche tribes, right? But basically what happened is that he negotiated a peace treaty so that those tribes would not hurt the German settlers. Now, of course, they did not raid the German settler communities. From time to time, a child or a person was kidnapped. But for the most part, they were left alone. Those people were left alone. And it was his vision as a native to the area to offer the pilgrims from Germany hospitality. There's all different kinds of ways that we can unpack these kinds of stories. For all of us, in some form or fashion, are natives as well as pilgrims, literally and figuratively. Let me explain. When I first came to Mason, I was a pilgrim, right? I didn't know my way, okay? I get lost a lot on the some of the roads and some of the county roads and FM roads, and but I had you to help me find my way. And from time to time, I stepped on a few cow patties, literally and figuratively, right? Right? Well, amen? Okay. And you helped me find my way, all right? Because pilgrims don't know how to do things the way the culture of the community knows how to do things. So pilgrims do our best. We get an A for effort. And over time, I've experienced some things that have made me a native. Things that you all have never experienced. And I helped you navigate through those places so that you could arrive to a comfortable place. All of us are natives and pilgrims to some extent. This national holiday that we're going to celebrate this coming Thursday puts us in touch with a valuable spiritual discipline called gratitude, being thankful and having grateful hearts, because it reminds us that all that we are is not based on what we can produce ourselves. Sure, a lot of us have pulled ourselves by our own bootstraps, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let's face it, none of us changed our own diapers. None of us, when we were born, fed ourselves. None of us got here on our own. Many of us had to be tutored. Yeah. None of us got here by ourselves. And what's so valuable is for us to learn the spiritual discipline of thankfulness and gratitude that was exemplified in the story that Carmen read for us of the Samaritan leper who was the only one of 10 to come back and praise God for the healing that he received from Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us need to claim what it means to be grateful and thankful. Not for what we receive by our own doing, but what we were given by people who cared for us and loved us and helped us along the path. And children need to know this spiritual discipline as well. Our children need to know the valuable importance of what it means to be thankful and having gratitude in our hearts and lives for the blessing that comes from the community at large as well as from above. So I'm going to share with you my first Native American story. I was 10 years old when my dad gave me an early Christmas present. It was a .22 Remington single-shot rifle. Now, I grew up in a time when you could walk up and down the neighborhood with a BB gun and a pellet gun. But my dad and his best friend, Nacho, which is short in Spanish for Ignacio, Ignatius, and him went hunting in Sabinal, Texas. And so we went. They took me along, and so my dad gave me my rifle and a box of shells, and they went off hunting somewhere, and I stayed in camp, and shot a bunch of cactus deer. You know, killed a lot of those cactus deer. I'm telling you, and so there I stayed in camp, shooting and waiting for Nacho and my dad to return back to camp. Before they returned to camp, there was about 7 or 8 undocumented Mexicans that set up camp about 30 yards away in a windmill. Because see, the way undocumented people from Mexico navigate through the woods is by the windmills, okay? That's the way that they navigate from Mexico into the United States, because that's the way they go back and forth, right? And the reason a lot of them are dying in the woods is because so many people are going to solar-powered water pumps as opposed to windmills. So the windmills are going away, and there's no points of navigation anymore. But back then, there were a lot of windmills, and there was water to be found, And so this group of Mexicans were camped close to where we were camped, and it was a different time, and we felt perfectly safe, right? So my dad and Nacho came back and set up camp, and you know, when people go hunting, they eat better when they eat at home. I'm just saying. And so we were eating pretty good, right? We were eating pretty good, and those group of muchachos, those Mexicans that were off to the side, made a fire, put a rock in the middle of the fire, and were warming their tortillas, and they had water to drink. That's all they had, water and tortillas. And so my dad said, "Son, go get your rifle, and here's your box of shells, and go see how many rabbits you can bring back." So I went out and I shot 7 rabbit the first time and 6 rabbit the second time. And I took them to those men and they skinned them and they put them on sticks and they rested those sticks over the fire like that to where all those rabbit were roasted to perfection. And of course they had some chilies, right? And they had some salt and they roasted those rabbit. And I went back to camp, and I was just amazed at what I just did. You know, I was surprised myself. You know, I was happy, and my dad was proud, right? And after those rabbit were finished roasting, they invited me to come share the meal with them. And so they tore off a haunch of rabbit, and they gave it to me to eat with a tortilla. And I can still taste the ash on that rabbit haunch, right? To this day, I can still remember that taste of that rabbit. All of us should express our thankfulness by inviting a pilgrim over Thursday for Thanksgiving. If not Thanksgiving Day, then Friday or Saturday or some other day, over for lunch or supper. All of us should extend the hospitality that's part of our national DNA to share with other people who struggle and journey through life. We just heard about Pat and Lisa and what happened in their life and the stillborn of their grandchild. What does it mean to be a pilgrim in that new land that they're facing and to be a native and offer them hospitality and kindness and love and generosity in this particular journey of their life? Some of you may know what that's about. Thanksgiving. It's part of who we are. It's part of who we are as Americans. It's part of who we are as Christians. It's part of who we are as Methodists. It's part of who we are as people in Mason, Texas. My friends, have a blessed Thanksgiving. And don't forget to invite Jesus into your fellowship. And remember the abundance of God's grace and mercy that is with us always. In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.